Amen. Well, we're delighted today. We have a new series we're kicking off. So this series is called Soul Care. Hallelujah. Come on, Nick.
Good morning. So today we're going to talk about something I'm very passionate about. That means that the pace in which I speak and the volume that I speak at may alter a little bit throughout our presentation. All right? So if you're related to me, I apologize. If you're listening on CD or internet later, I apologize. To my dear sound man, I apologize because my levels will be going like this. So I've given you these excellent notes. And today the topic for the next few weeks, four, five weeks, is soul care. And the title of today's message is not found on your sheet because you need to take your pen and or your iPhone and you need to write across the top, guard your heart. Soul care, guard your heart. You can put a heart instead of the word heart if you like. You'll see in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. I don't think we believe in that verse. Not with our actions, right? So there's things we believe in, and then there's things we believe in. So we're going to repent. The word repent actually means change your mind. And it's going to start with me. Lord, I repent for not taking care of my heart and for not taking care of my soul that you've asked me to. And so we ask you to speak to us during this time. We submit our hearts to you and that you'd give us resurrection life in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to run. I need you to get your running shoes on. We're going to run today. I have 37 minutes. I'm going to take every single one of them. And I would love it if you'd now emotionally or truly put down your notes because we're going to talk for about 5 minutes before we look at that piece of paper again. It's really interesting because 2 weeks ago, God was speaking to us about birthing something, about being pregnant, and the Holy Spirit took my sister, Laurie, to 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah was down in a ball praying his guts out for what eventually became a cloud the size of a man's fist, which eventually became the end to a 3-year drought, which eventually became the start of something completely new. I had forgotten that she had used that verse, that the Lord had given that to her. And for this week, when Pastor spoke to me about this message, he said for me to ask the Lord for a verse, a chapter that we were going to speak on. Jesus took me to 1 Kings 17 through 19. And I didn't realize, I'd forgotten my sister had just been there 2 weeks prior. So we just want to say thank you, God. So I want you to come back to Elijah with me. And if you've heard this story 100 times, I want you to wipe the slate clean and hear it all over again, because something you've never really heard has happened here, and it's transformative. I want you to imagine coming off of the greatest victory of your life, the most incredible success. Something happened that was easily the most important event in history for Israel since them being miraculously freed out of Egypt. Probably better than entering the promised land, actually. Better than Jericho, better than crossing the river, was this idea, because the whole point of crossing into the promised land, the whole point of it, was to eradicate the idols out of it, which happened when Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. So God's people have an evil king and an evil queen. And even though this is a true story, for some reason in our culture, it's easier for us to think of this as a movie. So imagine it's a movie, but at the bottom it says, based on a true story. So in the movie, there's an evil king and an evil queen, and all of God's people are basically under them, and they worship this false god named Baal. And there are 450 prophets of Baal, and there's one man crying out for God named Elijah. Aren't these good Hollywood odds, right? Doesn't it feel like our life sometimes? You know, the commute to work seems humongous, you know, the screaming child and the lack of sleep, you know, the fight in the marriage, it all seems so big, the project laid before us. So God tells Elijah to tell the king and queen that there's gonna be a drought. So, which by the way, God's really nice because he tells him after you start this drought, I want you to go into hiding because they're gonna try to kill him. So he goes into hiding for 3 years, and God actually sends ravens into this little like creek area to feed him. I just love God, he's just so weird. And so he's so creative, you know? I'm like, imagine, you know, we're like, I can't believe my checking account's getting low, you know? And God's like, I could send ravens if you want. I mean, come on, just relax, you know? We're like, what about the money? He's like, what about the birds? We'll send you food, relax. So he's hiding out in the wilderness, and God tells him the season is going to end. And he announces himself to the king and queen that he's going to be back in society. He wants to challenge them to a duel on the top of Mount Carmel, which is north, Western Israel. Israel's not a huge country, but it's large enough that when you're walking around, it's a big place. So imagine you're walking all the time. So these prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, come to the top of this mountain, and Elijah says, look, everybody, how about this? We're going to put a sacrifice here. You cry out to Baal. If Baal sends fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, then Baal is God. We'll all worship Baal. I'll get out of your way. Sorry for all this hassle I've been causing you. And if not, and if God answers fire from heaven, according on the sacrifice, then God, Yahweh, is God. And we're going to eradicate this place from Baal. And they say, sure, let's do it. So these prophets of Baal, this is where it gets Hollywood. And by the way, the Bible's rated R. So if you've ever read the Bible, be careful, because it's rated R. It's restricted for people under age of 17. They need, like, kids' Bibles. Or an adult. You can see it with an adult. So the prophets of Baal are crying out to God, to their God, Baal. They're crying out to Baal and saying, send down fire on this place. They're slashing themselves. They're cutting themselves. Okay, they're bleeding everywhere. They're screaming. And it goes on hours and hours and hours. And Baal, of course, who doesn't exist, who's a false god, who's a demon, doesn't send fire from heaven. Can't do that. Sorry, that's a God thing. So after all of this, I love it because in our life, when we're ready for God to deliver us, when we're ready for God to step in and change something, you know what he does sometimes? He goes, let's make it a little harder. We're like, no, Lord, see, March the 3rd was when I needed you, not March the 12th when you came. And he's like, the nine-day difference was something cool that I was doing. So Elijah actually has them take water and pour water on the sacrifice. You know, it's hard to light something in the woods anyway. Have you ever tried to, like, light a fire yourself with the... You know? Imagine, not only do we not have one of those things, or any, but instead, we need fire from heaven, right, that we can't create to come down. And then to make it more exciting, let's just pour water over the wood and water over the stones and water over the dead cow that we're trying to ask God to burn up. And we did that 12 times, all kinds of water. And then he cries out to the living God, whose name is Yahweh, and he sent fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And every single person watching stood in the miracle, and they took their hands and their swords and their clubs and the rocks on the ground, and they killed 450 prophets of Baal. And every single one of them was slain as the people of God eradicated the idol out of their life. And here's where we've never understood. We think in terms of movies based on a true story. And you have to remember, what happens next in our hearts is not what happened. Because what happens next in our hearts is, and they lived happily ever after. And when you're coming off the most intense season of your life, when you're coming off the greatest victory in your life, when you're exhausted, there's not a camera crew ready to hug you. Instead, you still have an enemy who hates your guts. And so the first thing we learn about soul care in the life of Elijah, he's exhausted. He's exhausted. He's coming off a great victory. He's exhausted. And here's the problem. When we're tired, we begin to envision things that aren't there. And when we're tired, we begin to expect things that may not be what's coming. And so that missed expectation is a challenge. The king, the evil king, goes back to his wife, the evil queen, and tells him what God has done. Under section 1 here, verse 2 and 3 of 1 Kings 19, Jezebel, that's the evil queen, Jezebel sends a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of these prophets by tomorrow at this time. She's like, dude, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you for killing all my prophets. I'm going to kill you. She sends a messenger, okay, a physical messenger to Elijah to say, the queen, you know, if you're alive this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead meat, buddy. And then really interesting, and you have to read old school King James to get an idea of what the Hebrew says, because the Americans started to water things down with their versions. You have to understand what the original language said. The original language says, when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life. When he saw that, wait a minute, what did he see? I thought, did she send an army? I looked at the verse. No, she sent a messenger. Did the messenger have a picture of her killing him? No, he had words. When we're exhausted, we no longer see clearly. Matter of fact, we see things that aren't there. Because what's remarkable to me, I'm reading this going, couldn't the messenger have just had a little knife in his hand, stabbed him in the neck? Couldn't the messenger have been secretly a sniper or an assassin or a ninja? Depending on what movie you're watching. Okay? She took all the trouble to send a human being to him. It's not like an email. It doesn't say, then she emailed him. If you're alive tomorrow. A text, even. There was no emojis. Okay? There was a physical human being in his presence repeating a message to him about how she's going to kill him. If you wanted to kill him, you would have sent an army or an assassin or a sniper. Matter of fact, the Bible doesn't tell us anywhere in this entire verse or anywhere else in any verse of the Bible that she sent anything. There was no army. There's no sniper. There's no assassin. There's just a threat. And when we're exhausted, we get intimidated. And when you're tired, like my beautiful children are tired at the end of the day, and it says, it's time to go to bed. Oh, no! There's 10 more minutes of this movie, Daddy, please! Everything feels so big when you're tired. And I tell my beautiful son, Titus, honey, we can watch this movie tomorrow. No, Daddy, please. This is the best part. We can't stop now. We can't stop now. Everything feels so big when you're tired, when you're exhausted, okay? Boss sends you an email that's like, hey, great work on the project. Just change that one word in page 5. Oh, I can't change the one word in page 5. We do it too, by the way. Where does he learn it from? Hello? Yeah, we do it too. All right, I take full responsibility for my children. My God, I'm sorry. I repent, Lord Jesus. What did he see? He saw a bunch of assassins. He saw people stabbing him in the neck, pulling him in 16 different directions, cutting him in pieces, sending him to this, 12 different corners of Israel. He saw a bunch of stuff that wasn't happening. When we're exhausted, we no longer see things clearly. This happens in a season of victory, by the way. This is the end of the movie that's supposed to end happily ever after ends with him running for his life, exhausted. I realized later, Jesus told me something I've never heard anyone say. One reason that really, really freaked him out wasn't just the threat that she was going to kill him. He had an expectation of something that didn't happen. God says, go do A, B, and C. And I don't know why, but we hear God say, go do A, B, and C, and then D will happen. Whoa. God didn't say D will happen. You just killed the prophets of Baal. God told you to go do that. It happened. You should be happy. Happy. Okay. So that's not what happened, because we go, but then D will happen. Lord, you said go A, B, and C, and so then D will happen. Right, Lord? Then the evil king and queen will get on their knees and repent to you, and the whole nation will be saved. No. No, the evil queen hates your guts and is going to kill you. So it wasn't just his fear, something he wanted to have happen. He thought, now we got rid of the prophets, but if we don't have a change in leadership, how will this nation ever serve God again? Because tomorrow she'll get a new prophet of Baal, and he'll find 12 more prophets of Baal, and they'll keep sacrificing little children to Baal, and they'll keep cutting themselves to Baal. And so something didn't happen that he expected, which, by the way, is just as powerful as your exhaustion. So be careful to put your heart on the things that God told you to do and God told you to happen, and not the things you think. Because when it doesn't work the way you think it will, you can get really worn out. Jezebel doesn't submit and repent and come to Jesus. No, she makes a great name for us to use. Now, so you and I are so much like Elijah. He doesn't just run for his life. The guy's a passionate guy. The guy's a passionate guy. He walks or runs or something, skips. I don't know. He was pretty upset. I don't think he's skipping. He runs from Mount Carmel, northwestern Israel, right? I'm going to do the map as if you're looking at it. Northwestern Israel. He walks to the southern part of Israel, down to Beersheba, drops off his servant there. He had like an assistant, administrative assistant, Amanda, So administrative assistant drops him off in Beersheba and then goes into the wilderness outside of Beersheba. Every good Hebrew can tell you that the wilderness outside of Beersheba is where Abraham booted his illegitimate child, Ishmael. Because when you're afraid, when you're freaked out, you come to the wrong conclusions. When we're afraid, when we give in to fear, when we give in to intimidation, we come to the wrong conclusions. Elijah's a passionate guy. Not only does he run for his life, he goes to the place of ultimate dishonor. He says, I'm nothing. If I couldn't get the queen to give in, I am nothing. He goes and hides under a broom bush. And he says to God, I've had enough. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Rewind. What? You just had the most significant victory in 1,000 years for this country and this God, and you're no better than your ancestors, and you want him to kill you? And you're going to go send yourself out into the wilderness to die with the bones of Ishmael and Hagar? See, when we're tired and we give in to fear and we get intimidated, not only do we come to the wrong conclusions, we take it really a step further. We make things God is doing illegitimate, including yourself. You say, I'm not worth this, God. You picked the wrong guy. You picked the wrong gal for this marriage. You picked the wrong guy for this fatherhood. You picked the wrong guy to be at this company. You picked the wrong guy to redo this church and redo this building and redo this roof. You picked the wrong guy to play this guitar, and your brain just starts going crazy. And you start taking every beautiful thing he's given you and you call it illegitimate. Including yourself. What have you been calling illegitimate? What have you been sending out in the desert that God wants to do in your life? What have you been questioning and discounting that he has actually done? I can't take this marriage anymore. It's going to be the end of me. Whoa, do you hear yourself? This project is killing me. I can't do it. Whoa, you've picked the wrong person. I'm not up for this, God. Whoa. You don't even have to say this out loud. God can hear your thoughts, by the way. So when we're... We're all sinners, okay? Don't ever be fooled by this jacket, okay? And these black jeans, okay? I'm a sinner just like you. And if you could get inside my head this week, you'd be amazed. Amazed. Whoa, Nick wasn't kidding. He's a real good sinner just like me. It is by the blood of Jesus that I am on this platform. All right, praise the Lord. It's by the blood of Jesus that I'm still married. By the blood of Jesus, those children don't rise up and kill me, okay? It's by the blood of Jesus that I'm employed right now. You think this is a joke, I will tell you stories after service. So we're exhausted. What have you discounted lately? What have you discounted illegitimate in your fear and exhaustion? I'm not preaching today because I do a great job at soul care. I'm preaching today because God has a sense of humor. I have run like a crazy man, like a banshee, for 7 straight years. And God has healed my wife. And then things are changing. And I'll have 5 minutes to take a deep breath now. God's got a sense of humor, and he's asked me to preach on something so that I'll get it in my heart, okay? So after going, you know, we're so passionate. We're like, we're so funny. You know, Elijah goes specifically to the desert outside of Beersheba to be like, look what you've done to me, God. You know, God's like, what are you doing? So thankfully, the dude just falls asleep under this bush that he just asked God to kill him, okay? And an angel of the Lord comes and touches him and says, get up and eat. And the angel actually had made him some bread, some food. So he falls asleep, okay? Sometimes, okay, when you really need to like hear from God and you're at your wit's end, sometimes you need to take a little nap, okay? You like my kids, like me actually. When you take a little nap. Angel wakes him up, says, get up and eat. After which, the angel of the Lord, after he eats and drinks, Elijah falls asleep again. The angel of the Lord wakes him up a second time, touches him and says, Elijah, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. Okay, God's doing something in your life right now that it's bigger than you can handle. You need rest. You need nourishment. You need some physical rest, some nourishment, and a time apart seeking him. God's prescription is physical rest, nourishment, and a time apart seeking him. I used to like a very different version of this verse. I wanted blank one to say, God's prescription is television, Ben and Jerry's, and time alone. That's not going to restore you, okay? That made me fat and tired. So actual physical rest, nourishment, okay? Doesn't have to be paleo, but it needs to be nourishment, and a time apart seeking him. And interestingly enough, it doesn't say a time apart reading your Bible. And there's nothing wrong with reading your Bible. Okay, there were scrolls. There were scrolls that Elijah could have went and studied. God didn't ask him to do that. God took him on a little journey. Two of them went for a little walk through the desert. 40 days and 40 nights away from, see, where you send yourself is this discounted illegitimacy, and God takes you back to Mount Horeb, to the mountain of God, and he raises you up to the top to where he made covenant with you, and he says, that's where I'll talk to you. You want to call yourself this peon? You want to call yourself this illegitimate bastard? No, you're my son. You're my daughter. You are adopted. I have made covenant with you, and I will raise you back up to where this all started when you left Egypt, and I will tell you on the top of that mountain who you are. By the way, you can't get there without a little bit of rest, so go take a nap because you have a long journey ahead of you. And God takes him through the desert. You want to know how to get restored quick? Go take a little walk. You don't need to be a mountain climber. You don't need to have those boots with like the spikes and the ice and the No, just a little hike. You could even wear tennis shoes, sandals even. Just go for a little walk in nature. I don't know what it is about walking with God. You go get out of town. Okay, you don't have to do 40 days, 40 nights. Your children might wonder where you are. Your job might tell you when you get back. You're unemployed. So it doesn't have to be 40 days and 40 nights, all right? But you need to get out into the natural, into what God made for you. And take a deep breath, see a little dolphin jump in the ocean, whatever it is. Go watch. We have a lot of green trees here. This is a good time of year to do it. Get out, watch that river go by you for a couple hours. Let God wash over your soul. So he goes for a 40-day journey to the top of Mount Horeb, to the mountain of God. That's God's prescription for you. Thank you, Jesus. So you're going to get there. You're still going to have expectations of what God speaking to you is going to look like. And you're still going to have expectations and wrong conclusions about who you are. You're all messed up. We are. We're all tangled up. We actually need help deciphering the events of our life. We need interpretation. We see them happening, and we come to these wild conclusions. What he's doing, what it means to us. And a good mentor, a good pastor, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a friend, Jesus will use them to help you translate and interpret what's happening. Okay? Fact. Someone's trying to kill you. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of scary. Fact. They do have an army they could send after you. Okay. So those are true. That's happening. I'm not saying it didn't happen. But interpreting what it means for this next season of your life, the fact you're exhausted, the fact your marriage has trouble, the fact that your job... the fact your money's messed up, the fact your kids aren't listening to you this week, the fact that you don't really like yourself anymore, maybe you never did, you know, all that stuff, right? Some love relationship lost, missed expectations, loved one died this year, wasn't planning on that. Loved one's as good as dead to you now, they left, wasn't planning on that. And we see that, we need a friend to come show us an interpretation of what that means, what God's doing with it. So you get up to the mountain, you get up to the top of this mountain, and God wants to speak to you, okay? I love it, because he says to Elijah, what are you doing here? You're like, you told me to come. I love when God asks those questions. It's really fun. What are you doing here? And so God doesn't speak to Elijah in the fire this time, or in the wind, or in the earthquake. He's coming off all these huge miracles. God just wants to draw him close, just whisper to his heart. Just tell him who he is. Just remind him. You're my son. You're my prophet. You think you're all alone, but you're not. There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal or kissed that idol. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back the way you came. I just walked through 40 days, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, go back the way you came. 40 more days in the desert, 40 more days of vacation, 40 more days of nature hiking, and go back. And I want you to anoint Hazael, king over Aram, and then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And then, listen, I want you to anoint Elisha as prophet. I want you to go anoint Elisha to succeed you as prophet. This is not a demotion, friends. This is a promotion. You just moved from warrior and doer and carrier of the burden, you just got promoted to mentor and sage. Right? And some young buck is going to go do the heavy lifting for you. Name Elisha. And I love this part. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any that escape the sword of Jehu. You got a team. You got a threefold cord. Three peeps are going to help you. Elijah, you get to be the leader of a team now. All right? Got a change of leadership, transition, and you get to be promoted. I reserve 7,000 of Israel whose knees are not bowed to Baal. Number four, it might already be up there. When we seek him, God gives us a new vision and reaffirms our identity. When we seek him, God gives us a new vision and reaffirms our identity. No, you're not a bastard child. You're my favorite obedient son. So much so I'm going to make you mentor to another. So much so that I'm going to bring a team of people around you to change what you've been fighting, what you've been starving over, what you've been prophesying for. God puts new righteous leaders in power. He'll show you who you are again. You need a nap first. You need some nourishment. You need to go for a little hike. And after all that, ask him, who am I? Speak to me, God, who am I? Who do you see me to be? And what do you want to do next? Because what I was envisioning happening, I can't pull it off. And the things that I need to have happen, I can't pull it off. And I don't know where the money's going to come from. And I don't know who the team's going to be. And I can't just go forward another step the old way anymore. And God will give you a new vision and reaffirm who you are in the new season. And whatever he says to you, he'll provide for. Where he guides, he provides. So if you get to a place where you can no longer go any further and there's no provision, you come to that cliff in your marriage. You come to that cliff in your job. You come to that cliff in your project. You come to that cliff in your heart. You come to that cliff in your internal workings, in the way your brain works, in the way your thoughts work. Guess what, guys? This is not the way God's leading you. If there's no more provision for you to go that way, where God guides, he provides. He doesn't say, go back and try harder. I don't know what God that is, but that hell has been inside my brain for 30 years. Go back and do more push-ups and wake up earlier and read more of your Bible. And then you can pull this all off alone. No. Go back for a little walk through nature. Go back the way you came. Which 40-day journey just to get back to the desert outside of Beersheba. I don't know how many more days to get back up to where he's from. Wherever Aram is, right? So where God guides, he'll provide. We actually need him to show us what the next season looks like, because things that we assume are part of that vision are not part of that vision. We need him to show us the how. He's told us what, maybe, and now he needs to show you how. This is a how moment in the Bible. God says, go anoint this guy king, go do this and go do that, and this guy will be your successor as prophet. And literally, Elijah doesn't have to do anything for Jezebel to be killed. You don't have to go take on your worst enemy all by your lonesome. You don't have to go finish this all by yourself. When he obeys God, that's the sound of things unlocking. When you obey God, everything unlocks, okay? The first dude's going to kill a bunch of people. Whoever he doesn't kill, the second dude's going to kill. And whoever he doesn't kill, the third dude's going to kill. And you just get to sit back and enjoy and watch the movie. And it's rated R. And it's based on a true story. So these coming weeks, ask the Lord who you are. Ask the Lord for that new vision, right? Let him whisper to you. And if you're not hearing him, you might not have done the first three things I asked you to do, or actually he asked you to do. Maybe you haven't rested yet, and maybe you haven't had some nourishment, and maybe you didn't go for a walk in nature. So if you can't get to step four, you might go back to step one, two, three. So now God's good. If you, there were moments in the last 7 years where I did not have time to take a hike or to sleep. So God's faithful. So if you have legitimately no excuse, then he'll speak to you. But otherwise, I think you should do steps one, two, and three, and then expect four to come. The neat thing is, as you're doing that, I would love for you to ask yourself, what heavy load have you been carrying, because you always have, It's who you are. Elijah is prophet. Elijah is the only one left. We believe we are what we do. No, you're not. You're not what you do. You're you. You're beautiful daughter of God. You're beautiful son of the king. You're a prince. You're a princess. You're not what you do. Elijah isn't prophet. Elijah is son of the living God. All right? So whatever you think you have to always do because you always did is wrong. Ask the Lord, what heavy load have you been carrying that he longs to have you now delegate and team in order to move forward? Maybe there's an organization you need to quit. Change? Yeah, change. Maybe there's a project you need to ask for help on. Humility? Yeah, humility. Thank you, Jesus. Seriously, though, Lord, I repent for everything I've carried that you didn't ask me to carry. I repent for everything I've carried that you didn't ask me to carry. And I repent for pushing those who've offered to help me away and said, I'll do it on my own. My stubborn, proud heart, God, I repent and I submit to you as your son and I say, I want your way. Thank you, Jesus. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it.
Go ahead and just lift your hands before the Lord. Just kind of take your hands and I'm just going to add to what, just continue what Nick ministered. And whatever that is that has been the heavy load, I want to ask you to lift it and give it to God. And to make a prophetic act and to hand it over into his hands. Would you lift that up to the Lord and say, the journey is too long, it's too much for me. And I'm going to give you the burden that I've been carrying. I hand it over to you. Let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to lay it in your hands. I'm going to cast my care into you. Let's praise him now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to take this monkey off of my back. I'm going to give it to you. This thing that's this stranglehold, this iron yoke, this thing that's weighted me down, I'm going to take it and give it to you. This stress, this anxiety, this weight, this burden, this care, this dividing of my mind, pressure that messes with me, that scrambles me up, that causes me to not only not see clearly, but be weighted more than ever. And I just bring myself to you, and I cast this upon you. I come to you, Lord God, and I cast this upon you. You are God, and I am not. You are almighty, and I am finite. You're infinite. You're all-powerful, and I'm just a little shaver in your presence. Just praise him now. Praise him. Pray in the Spirit and just praise him. Just praise him. Just linger here for a moment. Linger here. Linger before the Lord. Linger.
I felt like the Lord said, test me in this. Test me in this and see that I am good. Test me in this. Go ahead, do A, B, and C. Go ahead, pour water on the wood and the sacrifice and the rock. 12 times, 13 times, 25 times. Do it. Test me in this and see that I am good.
Yes.
I am good. I am faithful. I am true.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
And the Lord will take the weight and reaffirm, as Nick said, the identity and what you're truly called to be and form others around. Let's just praise him again. Thank you, Lord, for the hope. Thank you for the word, for the life-giving message here. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The Lord is dismantling things right now. There's been a construct of thoughts that have been arranged by our adversary, and he's causing them to melt away. He's addressing what is in the unseen realm, and he's dealing with it right now. Let's go ahead and just, part of it is when he begins a thing like that, you don't stop. You just go ahead and praise him and see the full release of it. We used to say all the way to joy. Let there come a work of the Spirit here. All the way to joy. Praise you, Lord. All the way to joy, Lord. All the way to joy. Oh, all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. Praise the Lord. You're more than enough. You're more than enough, Lord. Praise your Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
I forgot to tell you how their story ends, Elijah. It ends in a blaze of glory. It ends in the best promotion of ever, other than Jesus, ascending himself, second best ever, Elijah in a chariot of fire. And that, my friends, is the end. And that's our God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's go ahead and applaud the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Woo! Praise you, Lord.